Hey everyone, and welcome to a brand new Behind the Numbers show, Reimagining Retail, an e-marketer podcast made possible by Basis Technologies. I'm one of your co-hosts, Insider Intelligence Principal Analyst Susie David Kenyon.
And I'm your other co-host, Principal Analyst Andrew Lipsman. Today is Wednesday, December 8th, and you're listening to episode one of our new bi-weekly show on how retail is converging with every part of our lives and every part of the digital media ecosystem, from retail media and social commerce to the relationship between digital and physical commerce.
Each episode will have segments that cover retail concepts, from loyalty programs to cool brand partnerships.
We'll have interviews with leading retail brands and experts.
And we'll rank things like the next generation of direct-to-consumer mega brands or retailers who are most benefiting from the post-pandemic new normal.
We'll also take some in-person trips down to actual retail stores to record the best and worst examples of how brick-and-mortar retail is changing.
Today's inaugural episode is all about the holiday shopping. And we start by discussing how the Thanksgiving shopping weekend went and what our key takeaways are.
Then we'll take a listen to some of our own in-store shopping experiences from Thanksgiving weekend and dissect what they tell us about the state of retail today and where it's going. We just finished the Cyber 5 period, and Susie, we've seen some of the headline numbers. I'm really curious to get your reaction based on what you saw.
I saw in store exactly what we're reading in the headlines in terms of sales weren't quite as brisk as we had expected. We thought that it was going to be a blockbuster Cyber 5. And it turns out, according to Adobe, that really only Thanksgiving Day had a slight uptick to last year. I know we talk about this all the time. Last year numbers were really, really high, but still all the other days were down, which was kind of unexpected.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. In our forecast, we had directionally thought that Thanksgiving, Black Friday, and Cyber Monday would all underperform the season growth benchmark. So directionally, we were right, but in terms of magnitude, we overshot by a fair amount. I mean, they were basically treading water here, slightly down even, and pretty clear that they underperformed pretty considerably. So it's interesting to think about what may have happened here. And we saw actually some similar trends with brick and mortar.
Right. And I think we're not the only ones. We're in good company in terms of overshooting the value of each of the days, because they really came in much lower than what any other company, I think, thought from a forecast perspective.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. We've never not seen not only growth, but strong growth on these key shopping days for online. So this is definitely a reversal of what has been, you know, a 20-year trend.
Right. But I mean, we do know the headlines are very mixed and consumers were worried and retailers were telling them shop early. And so retailers also started doing discounts earlier than ever before. And we're seeing it in the numbers. Adobe has the numbers from November 1 to November 29. Online sales were up 11% to last year. And they're saying that 22 of those days were $3 billion plus dollar days, which is huge. And last year, that was only 9 days.
And strong double-digit growth rates. I think, you know, in the past, if Black Friday and Cyber Monday underperformed, there would be hysteria about how the season was going to perform. But this year, I think people are pretty tempered because they do realize that shoppers shopped really early, as you mentioned, throughout November. But even before November, we really saw activity ramp up in October.
Right, which bodes well for retailers, I think, for the total season.
So we're seeing a flattening. And then as we think about brick and mortar channel, so Black Friday, everyone has eyes on. And I personally had expected to see a really strong rebound. Now, coming off of last year's lows, there was going to be a strong rebound. And we did see that. It was up 48%. But comparing to 2 years ago, which is maybe a more reasonable comparison, it was down 28%. So not as strong as I would have hoped for.
Absolutely. And you know what? I think we probably had the same experience when we went in store where traffic was not quite what we had expected. That buzz, the holiday rush on Black Friday was really missing.
Well, why don't we jump into talking about the store experiences? So we both hit up a handful of stores around Thanksgiving weekend. You want to kick us off and tell us where you went and what you were hoping to see?
Yeah. So I went to New Jersey for Black Friday, which was really exciting to go to the suburbs and see what that looks like. I went to Target. And I went to a Dick's, which, as we know in the headlines, was doing really, really well. Wanted to see what that was all about. And then on Sunday, I wanted to see what was happening in New York City. So I went to see a handful of retail verticals, plus Macy's and Bloomingdale's. And I'm excited to talk to you guys about them. Andrew, where did you go?
Yeah, so I had a couple of visits, although I would maybe more accurately describe the first one as a false start. So my original plan, I went out the Tuesday before Thanksgiving to try and hit up Michigan Avenue in Chicago. I live just outside of the city. And I get there about 7 p.m. Tuesday evening, excited to hit up some stores. I wanted to go to the Nike store, the Lego store, some other ones around there. And what I ended up finding out was that almost every store was closed. They had all shut down at 7 p.m.
What?
The week before Thanksgiving. And as best I could, there were people milling about. There were plenty of people on the streets hitting up restaurants and coffee shops and things like that. But all the retail stores shut down. And I don't know the full explanation, but I think what may have been going on there is that there have been smash and grabs and retail theft that has hit Michigan Avenue. And I think that retailers are actually closing down early as a result of that. So I didn't get the look at some of the stores on Michigan Avenue like I wanted to. So I ended up going back out again on the Saturday after Thanksgiving to a number of big box retailers in the area by me. I hit up two Super Targets, a Kohl's and Sephora location, and then a Best Buy as well. And then I also hit up a local toy store called Geppetto's for Small Business Saturday.
I love it. I also love that you're calling it Kohl's and Sephora and not just Kohl's.
Well, that's what it said on the sign outside. Susie, I've never seen anything like this. I mean, there's the huge Kohl's lettering on the outside of the store, and then it says plus Sephora, and the Sephora is not much smaller than the Kohl's.
So this is how we thought about the visits in terms of thinking through the timing, the deals and promotions, the merchandising and the stockouts. And then finally, one of our favorite topics is how is the store using digital and technology to facilitate shopping? These are trends that we're always looking at, and these were headliners also. So we wanted to take a look as we were shopping. Andrew, what were some of the highlights for you in terms of the deals and the promotions?
Well, I wish I could say there were highlights. I was actually, I don't know about you, I was expecting that there would still be pretty aggressive promotions and discounts and a flurry of activity. You know, it was right after Black Friday. And it was actually really muted in every location. Not a lot of signage around the promotions, not a lot of deals that you were getting pointed to. And then when you did see deals, I would say, usually I feel like you see them in, expressed in percentage terms, right? Like 30% off, 35% off. That seemed to be the benchmark I've seen in the past. Most of these were framed in terms of dollars off. And when I did the math in my head, most of those discounts ended up being anywhere from 5% to maybe 20 or 25%, much, much lower level of discounting than I've ever seen before.
Well, I definitely agree with that in terms of lower discounting. The stores I went to were all percentages off. What I found really interesting was that there's definitely no doorbuster anymore. That timeliness, that urgency, that compelling deal where if you don't do it today, you're not going to find it tomorrow was missing for me, except for in Sephora, in the real Sephora.
Oh, 50% off this weekend only. Here they're not in full stock. That's really hard to believe, 50% off.
There was a sign up front that said today's deal. And for me, that, and it was like a piece of paper with a printed, it was nothing fancy, but it was literally off of their printer from the store. 25% off, three different brands. And in cosmetics and beauty, there's almost never a sale. So that was definitely very compelling. But outside of Sephora, I didn't really see anything that made me want to buy that day.
I'm curious, you know, our experiences are going to be a little bit different just because I went on the Saturday after Black Friday. You actually went on Black Friday. So I was maybe seeing the aftermath. Was there anything that you saw that really had that feel of Black Friday or a sense of urgency or, you know, shelves that had just been obliterated by people trying to get some hot product, anything like that?
I mean, nothing really. The Target signs for Black Friday were white and black, so not even festive. And there were some shelves that were almost no stock left, but it was in categories I wasn't expecting, like paper products and cleaning supplies and books. I mean, we know that there is a shortage of paper, and so books are impacted. The bookshelves were empty at Target, which I was really, really surprised about. But toys were in full swing. There were all of the electronics were there. You could see the key items that they had. Those tables were stacked. So definitely no dearth in products when it came to the giftables. But when it came to home products and CPG categories, not so great.
I also noticed the black labels for the Black Friday promotions at Target. I was really surprised because they didn't catch the eye. And, you know, Target's usually so great at merchandising everything. And I don't know, I just thought I would see some real holiday colors or something that draws the eye, and it just wasn't there.
So I'm leaving the Super Target now. I would say overall a pretty underwhelming experience. Staff was definitely working hard, and they were, from the conversations I heard, very keyed in on keeping the shelves stocked. It wasn't as tidy of a Target as you usually see, but that's probably to be expected the day after Black Friday. But what I noticed was that there was no real specific messaging of any sort specific to the holiday.
Right. Totally agree. In fact, I think most of the stores weren't as festive as I was expecting. But speaking of merchandising, did you see anything that popped for you that you were like, wow, they did a really great job with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think across a few of the stores, what's interesting is that it seems like the branded experiences are getting more pronounced. I guess the most exaggerated version of a branded experience is the shop-in-shop concept.
Okay, so right when you walk in, there is a full Sephora shop. You cannot miss it. Bright lights, really full three to four-walled store inside of the Kohl's. It is by far the most prominent part of the store experience right now. And it looks like it's pretty well attended. Half dozen people strolling around in there at the moment. Now I'm curious to see what the rest of the store looks like and if it matches the aesthetic of the Sephora in here.
So the Sephora inside the Kohl's, I knew that Kohl's is really trying to, you know, bring in younger consumers and generate foot traffic with the shop-in-shop concept. I was really surprised at just how massive the experience was once I got inside the walls. I mean, it probably took up a quarter. The Sephora took up about a quarter of the first floor plan. And when you walked in, that's all you saw. I mean, it hits you right in the face. So that was really amped up. And then I saw some great branded experiences at both Target and Best Buy. Target in the toy section. Now, there weren't any shop-in-shop concepts there, but they did have branded experiences for Lego and Barbie and Star Wars and some of the great toy brands. So I thought that was nicely done. And then Best Buy, really almost everything in the store is a branded experience now. And what jumped out to me there was all the big tech companies are taking up a lot of the floor now. There is a whole Apple experience, Microsoft, they both took up a lot of floor space near the back of the store. And then there were kiosks and end caps and experiences for Google products, Facebook portal, and Amazon products.
Wow. Amazon at Best Buy. They're everywhere. For me, it was really about, from a merchandising perspective, there were a lot of key item. Macy's was doing a lot of tech, like earbuds and other types of tech. It was like tables and tables, outposts all across the store with those items, the key items. What I thought was really helpful with Bloomingdale's, Sephora, and even Macy's had these giftable towers where it was either by brand, so it was boxed items that were by brand and a variety of prices, or there were a variety of price points across the towers, and then you can go and pick out a gift that was like under $100 or under $50 or under $25. So it made it really, really easy and convenient, and it helped me decide, hey, what do I want to get for X person for a gift? So that was really easy.
I like that experience, just trying to make it as easy on the consumer as possible. And I don't know, gift giving is such a hard process. So anything that helps you shortcut those decisions seems like a really good thing. I'm curious, given your background at Macy's, anything in particular that you noticed there as somebody who maybe had an insider view of, you know, what they were thinking about when they were building those holiday experiences?
Yes, I was a little bit sad about Santaland. It's usually buzzing. I know, it's kind of crazy, right? It's usually buzzing with all these kids everywhere, and it just feels like that welcomes in the holiday period, and it was pretty empty. And I read about it the other day, and it wasn't empty because there were no people there. It was empty because they're trying really hard to be COVID friendly. So this is probably one of the only places that I noticed where there was a mix of technology with the real store experience, and they were trying really hard to make sure that you had a very safe and easy experience, but by default, it also made it just less festive.
Yeah, I mean, I think we both had a similar experience where things just weren't quite as festive as they could have been. I'm curious if you have any thoughts as to why that may have been the case this year.
Well, you know what? This is such a good question because I can't decide if it's because of COVID and retailers are trying to be mindful of, you know, the disaster that COVID brought on in terms of the number of people who have unfortunately not made it through the years, or if it's the supply chain, or if they've just had profit issues and they're trying to just be a little bit less splurgy when it comes to Christmas decorations. I mean, I just don't know what it is. I don't know if you had any thoughts around what is it, or maybe it's just our expectations, you know, after a lackluster 2020 that we thought 2021 was going to be huge.
Yeah. I mean, I really thought it was going to be a rebound year, right? Where even though things aren't completely back to normal, that there are vaccines and people are returning to normalcy in certain ways. So I don't feel like there's the same demand for retailers to have to temper the festivity, but there just wasn't a lot of that decor.
Yeah.
The most decor I saw was in one of the super targets I went to, but it was relegated to the back. So there was a big Christmas section in the back, and it certainly didn't strike you when you walked into the store.
I will tell you, the one store that did really, I thought, do a good job, but it was understated, was Bloomingdale's. They have a tagline with special fonts for the holiday season, and the shopping bag was exactly that tagline. There are posters across the store with the tagline, lettering, but just different messaging. So like, perfect gift for her, or, you know, other types of messaging. So I thought that was really good, but very, very tempered compared to what I was expecting.
We are upstairs in holiday space. It's very different from Macy's.
And actually, one of the other things that really surprised me at Bloomingdale's was their Santa Land was in partnership with Klarna, which I was not expecting to see any kind of partnerships, never mind Klarna.
The BNPLs, the buy now, pay later companies, are starting to enter the stores, right?
Yeah.
I have a feeling we'll start to see a lot more of that.
And as we think through that, the last thing we tried to observe as best we could was around the digital and the physical coming together. Did you have any experiences where you felt that that was really working for the store?
I saw only, I would say, modest attempts for digital integration. First off, there are more QR codes than we've seen in the past. Mm-hmm. I know you and I have talked quite a bit about the reemergence of the QR code. I saw some product tags had QR codes where you could get some more information about products, and a few other instances, but it wasn't being pushed very hard. At Kohl's, it seemed like they were doing more to integrate digitization into their checkout experience so that the checkouts were modernized, seem more digitally integrated, and it was a nicer, I couldn't tell if it was more frictionless, but I assume that's the direction that they're going. And the last thing that I noticed was when I left Best Buy, there was some signage that was asking consumers to download their mobile app. It's nice that they did it at all. Frankly, I could have walked by it if I wasn't looking for it and would never notice it. I think this is a big missed opportunity by a lot of retailers. When people are in the store, to get them to download their mobile app, I think there's just a huge opportunity to promote them much more aggressively. What did you notice?
I mean, I totally agree about the downloading app. One of the things I did notice was Macy's had QR codes with posters that said like, hey, we can speed up your shopping. Just download the app with a QR code so you go right to it. And then they're really well known, Macy's, for their price checker. But next to the price checker was also the QR code with the app saying, hey, you don't need to use the machine. You can just do this from the app. Download it here. So I thought that was really clever. Bloomingdale's had a little bit of technology, but it was more like the self-service gigantic wall that's interactive so you can see where to find the brand, which I was surprised to see at Bloomingdale's, but it's, you know, it's not really an integration. It's just a use of technology to hopefully speed things up, but it kind of doesn't because you have to wait your turn to use the machine instead of being able to just quickly read a sign and move on to wherever you're trying to go. So I think that was like not so great technology use. The one thing I thought was very helpful was Sephora's buy online, pick up in store kiosk is right in front of the door. So you don't have to go anywhere. It's right there and it's fully staffed and it's really quick. It looked like it was very painless.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised we've made it this far before talking about buy online, pick up in store. Target for a while now has really been best in class at this. And what struck me, they just have it so well organized. First off, you have curbside spaces. They allocated, I don't know, maybe a dozen spaces right near an entrance for that. So that couldn't be any easier for people who want to opt for curbside. Or if you walk in those doors that are just inside, there's also an in-store pickup customer service desk. And that was actually, there were a number of people in line there. It seemed to be moving quickly and efficiently. So it just seems like they've got that whole operation down right now.
Yeah, I feel like we can talk about this forever.
But it's time for a quick word from our sponsor, Basis Technologies, and then we'll be right back.
Today's podcast is made possible by Basis Technologies. Basis Technologies has created a digital advertising platform that connects people, automates processes, and unifies channels, bringing together programmatic, site direct, search, social, and CTV into one single interface. And through the power of automation, Basis enables brands, agencies, and publishers to build and operate a healthy, secure, efficient, and profitable advertising organization. Ready to take control of your advertising? Just go to basis.net today. That's www.basis.net. Basis Technologies, the future of advertising has arrived.
All right, Andrew, let's wrap up today's episode, pun intended, with some key takeaways. What did you find was the good, the bad, and the surprising?
Yeah, I mean, I think what stood out to me was overall, the branded experiences and the merchandising, particularly in Target and Best Buy, I just thought they did a really nice job of bringing some of their hero brands to life in the store, and it made for a great retail experience. What about you? What did you think was good?
So for me, it was Bloomingdale's. I think Bloomingdale's did three things. We sort of talked about them, but I just wanted to sum them up in terms of they did easy and convenient, the giftables, the gift towers, that made it very easy. They had the branding that was on point throughout the store and even the shopping bag that was special. And what we didn't talk about, which I thought was excellent, was they have a teddy bear that is for charitable giving. And they also had this whole QR code silent auction in one of the fancier floors that was really helping raise money for specific causes during the holiday period, which I thought was really nice. And it ties very well into what the Gen Z and millennials are looking for. So I thought that was a great way for Bloomingdale's to kind of skew to a younger audience.
Yeah, that's a nice innovation and definitely adds to the elevated experience.
Yeah. There were some lackluster things. I don't know if you saw anything that you're like, oh, I don't know about that. That's not so great.
Yeah, I think overall, just the lack of holiday cheer and decor across really every one of them, every one of the retail locations I went to, it was too relegated to, you know, specific sections, and it wasn't throughout. And I just thought it could have been a little bit more festive. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with that. I also think that there were no doorbusters or no even pretending like there was any kind of compelling deal or urgency for me to have to buy something right away. And so I actually didn't see a lot of shopping bags in the stores either. So people saw what I saw. They were like, oh, great, lots of merchandise. Don't need to get it now. Not off enough. I'll just wait until I get a better deal closer to the holidays, to the Christmas, the gift-giving component of the holidays. So that was a little bit lackluster for me. And the other one was there was signage in store on Sunday for Cyber Monday, but they didn't make it easy for me. So they reminded me with big, bold letters, but it didn't have some sort of like, here's a QR code, download it so you can go straight to our website and see our deals. Like I felt like they needed to do something to bridge the gap between in-store and online.
That's a great point.
And then my favorite, as you know, the surprise. What surprised you from all your store visits?
Well, I have two surprises. The first one is when I walked into that Kohl's and saw the Sephora and just how massive it was. I mean, it really hit me in the face. That was a huge surprise. And then a pretty negative surprise was going to Michigan Avenue and seeing all the stores closed. That just made me pretty sad, especially if they're doing it and closing down at 7 p.m. during the holiday season in reaction to smash and grabs. So I think this is unfortunately a trend we need to start watching more closely.
Yeah, really brutal. Very unexpected and very, very sad.
Yeah, what surprised you?
I mean, outside of the Klarna partnership at Bloomingdale's, I think I was just surprised that it wasn't as festive as I was expecting, that Santa Land was kind of empty, not kind of, it was super empty, that, you know, there wasn't a buzz, there was no Christmas music playing. Like, I don't know, I just feel like I thought I was going to see so much more and I was surprised that I didn't. What I did love was that at Macy's, some of the fitting room areas have a lot of seating for people who are waiting for others to try on the clothes, and those were full. And so that made me happy.
So Susie, I've got a big question for you. It's gnawing at me after having this experience. And I wonder, we see the headline numbers and everything that you and I both experienced. Is Black Friday over?
I know, right? This is the million-dollar question. From the research we've done over the years, we know that a lot of these made-up sort of shopping marathons have been moving and spreading out more and more. Think about back to school as well, starts now in June before it used to start in July and August. So I think there's definitely movement to make the season longer. What I think we need to worry more about is once we look at October, November, December sales, did we net out positive or did we not, right? Because we can't say we had a bad holiday if we don't take that spreading out sort of into consideration when we look at the numbers. Do you think it's dead?
I mean, I'm really wrestling with this. So for a long time, there was always this talk track that, you know, holiday promotions were getting pulled earlier and earlier. And does this mean that Black Friday and Cyber Monday are dead? And for years and years, I pushed back on this hard. And I said, no, the evidence suggests otherwise, particularly for online. Just because an individual retailer runs a promotion earlier doesn't mean consumers will respond to it. And I think that there was in the past really a cadence to the season. And, you know, people kind of used the cue of Thanksgiving to start their shopping. And then they went into the stores over the weekend. Then they got back to work and they started shopping. And I realized that we were all kind of more constrained by time and place. And that created this concentration of activity around these tent poles. And if there's one thing that the pandemic has done, it's really kind of changed our whole notion of time and place and how we engage in activities synchronously or asynchronously. So I wonder that in this new era of retail, which happens anytime, anywhere, across any channel, if people are going to get used to shopping early in October and November, does it sort of take the wind out of the sails of these days? Maybe it is, and maybe that is the new normal.
And you know what? I think it's too early to call it from 2021, only because the headlines are so mixed. And if you are a parent and you want to make sure that your kids have gifts and you're reading the headlines and it's all about the supply shortage and the port snafus, you're going to buy early. And because retailers just didn't have enough stock, they didn't need to mark down as heavily. I think if we see the same sort of spreading out next year, then we can absolutely call it. It's over. It's done. There's no Black Friday anymore. But until we have another year where that a more normalized year where that happens, I don't know that we can actually call it. But I do think that if retailers don't start thinking about doorbusters and timeliness and this idea around relevant promotions and discounts that are meaningful enough that I'm going to go do it right now, then it's definitely not going to work. That was the whole thing about Black Friday, right? If you think about 5-10 years ago, people lined up outside to go get that TV for $50 instead of $150, right? And now it seems absurd to do it because you can sit down at home and buy it online, right? And so thinking through how do you make sure that you have channel agnostic deals, but also individual deals per channel so that you drive traffic into that special, whatever that channel is, including live streaming, right? We didn't really talk about live streaming at all, but a lot of these retailers, especially Amazon, did a lot of live streaming over the 5 days.
Yeah. And as you're talking, it's making me think a lot about urgency. And I think in the past, scarcity created urgency, right? It was the doorbuster deals and that created it around Black Friday or Cyber Monday. But now all of those Black Friday deals got released in the beginning of November or even in October. There was already consumer urgency because they were hyper aware of the supply chain issues. So that changed behavior. I think you're right that next year, let's assume that the supply chain issues get ironed out, that will probably be a real test for where these shopping holidays are headed. And by the way, I want to say also that even though they were maybe underwhelming and underperformed, they're still the biggest days. Cyber Monday is still going to be the biggest online shopping day of the year. Black Friday is still likely to be the biggest offline day. So they're huge days. It's just maybe a little bit less important than they have been in the past.
Absolutely. And I think the onus is also on retailers, not only to have that sense of urgency so that consumers shop on those days, but also to be, I'm going to use the word honest about their deals. You know, if you start saying things like limited time, but it's 5 days, then there's no sense of urgency, right? Or if it's like a 1 day sale, but it's 10 days, then, you know, like that's not going to help either, right? So I think the onus is equally on the retailer to make sure that they are honest in the way that they're communicating so that the consumer believes them and buys it at that minute. Like if you think about Supreme, when they drop something, like you know that there's only 100 of them or 200 of them, right? And so you go and you stand in line and you get whatever it is that you wanted to get. Otherwise, it's gone.
I think that's a great place to leave it.
Well, that's the end of today's show. Thanks to everyone who listened to our first episode.
We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode of Reimagining Retail. Tune in tomorrow for another episode of the Behind the Numbers Daily, an eMarketer podcast made possible by Basis Technologies.